The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and 720 WGN.
Welcome to Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Skyline Studio, high atop the Chicago River along Wacker Drive. Thanks very much for tuning in on this first day of snow. We're continuing to follow the weather to see what we might get tomorrow as well. Maybe it's one of those days where you want to order your milk and bread from the grocery store and have it delivered because of the blizzard. And Amazon will do that now. They have free delivery for Prime members. We'll talk to them a little bit later in the show. Frank Sennett will be here as well to talk about Miller Coors. Actually, it's Molson Coors now. I think they've gotten rid of the Miller part, and they're moving their headquarters, North American headquarters, to Chicago and leaving about 500 workers behind. So that's coming up. But we start on Wednesdays, for the most part, with Terry Savage. And Terry came with presents today. I want to get to those in a second. But first, the Fed will have its announcement coming up right after the show ends, about an hour from now.
Exactly.
And everyone's expecting a rate cut, right?
The Street expects the Fed will cut interest rates another 0.25%, making the third cut. It was just last year at this time in the fall, remember, that they were talking about looking ahead to 2 or 3 rate increases in 2019. It sent the markets and the economy into a tailspin, the idea that the Fed would increase rates at Christmas Eve last year, you know, which is only so close, hard to believe,
well,
2 months away. The markets plunged. So last fall, growth slowed. The Fed was on this thing where we're going to raise rates and get, quote, back to normal. And this proves just one thing. The Fed is not in charge. The markets are in charge. The Fed reacted dramatically in January, saying this last January, I guess we're not going to raise rates. And then they turned around in June and the summer cut rates, and now they're cutting them again.
So just one point, as the year ends, we're going to talk about how much the S&P or Dow have improved for the calendar year. But the fact is, we're kind of right where we were a year ago.
Before the plunge started.
Right, right.
Exactly. But the Fed's announcement that at this time that it was, or a little earlier in September, that it was thinking of raising rates again was what triggered the sell-off in the fall. And you're right. It'll be interesting because year-end to year-end, it'll look like we had a huge gain.
Like a great year.
Because we had that huge plunge at the end of the year. But actually, we're right about where we were at this time.
Diane Swank says that she thinks we're being a little too cautious, that usually at this time in a recovery, there's actual irrational exuberance, and instead we're kind of afraid of our own shadow.
That's interesting because that's the most bullish thing going on. We're in the longest term, longest bull market ever now, the longest economic recovery ever. And yet markets is an old saying in the markets climb a wall of worry. And it was like, maybe 2 months ago, this summer, that everybody was talking, when's a recession coming? It's coming, a recession, earnings. Now, earnings are surprising. They're not great, but they're surprising positively as they get reported.
They're diminishing the recession talk.
And there's no recession in sight. And, you know, a recession is officially 2 negative quarters of GDP. But we just saw that GDP was up more than the Street expected. They were thinking of 1.6 or 1.7% for the third quarter. It came out at 1.9%. So the economy is chugging along, and the markets are certainly, you know, right up against their all-time highs.
All right. So Terry's going to take calls in the second segment. If you want to get on the line now, 312-981-7200 for that. But she comes bearing gifts, this hefty, this substantial book.
I'm so excited. I really, when the box arrived 2 days ago, I went, oh my God.
The Savage Truth and Money, the third edition, right?
It's a brand new edition.
Yeah. You know, everything's changed.
Well, you know, the truths haven't changed, but so much has changed. In the previous book, which is just 8 years ago, there were no apps. I think Mint was the only app. But now there are all kinds of apps. There were no robo-advisors. There was no Betterment. There was no Wealthfront. There was no Robinhood. Acorns, I think, was just getting started. It wasn't mentioned in the book in the last edition. So there's so many new ways to approach your money. I mean, in the last 8 years, now you can get your credit score instantaneously at Credit
Right.
Karma. You could freeze your credit. We all have new worries about credit. So this contains everything I know, the Savage Truth on everything from how you approach thinking about the economy, the stuff we talk about, how you think about your personal finances and set a long-term plan, find a fiduciary, someone you can trust, and then know enough to talk intelligently with that planner about everything from credit and debt and how to deal with it now to getting started investing, or if you're approaching retirement, how to plan to make your money last as long as you do. And then some of those unexpected things, like there's new products, long-term care insurance. Oh, so sorry that everybody got exposed to the insurance company's mistakes. They didn't figure out how long people would live. Now we have combo policies with life long-term care.
Explain that. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So for 15 years, I've been telling people to buy long-term care insurance, probably more than that. And the premiums were meant to stay the same. And so you'd buy it at a younger age in your 60s, early 60s. The insurance companies figured out they were using the wrong actuarial tables, that they had been using life insurance tables, that number one, nobody gives up a long-term care policy once they've got it. And number two, they're more willing to use it because you can use it for care at home than they had planned. So about 5 years ago, and I did a series of stories on this, premiums started going up, not just for Mrs. Smith because she went into using care, but for everybody in that group of people who bought that policy that year in the state of Illinois. I mean, I went to the regulators and they said, look, these insurance companies tell us they're going out of business if they don't raise the premiums. So we have to let them do it. Now you can buy a combination life long-term care, lock in the cost of your care insurance. And if you don't use it, I hope you don't, then your heirs get a
death benefit. How old should you be when you use it? I mean, when you buy it?
I considering now these combination life long-term care policies, and we'll spend a day on it because I'll write a column soon about the new kind of policies. You want to start thinking about that in your 60s. It is the one thing. I talked yesterday to a woman who got me on the phone. Her husband has dementia at age 62, and what are they going to do? The cost of care is huge.
Okay, so I'm 56. I'm too young to start worrying about that because we have talked about it. But
yeah, now that you can combine life and long-term care, so the combo policies require you to either put one hunk of money in there or take over 10 years and put a little chunk in. So you should start doing
it. Could be a couple grand a year, right?
It would be more than that. I think you'd probably want to put in five or maybe $10,000 a year. I know, but you have a company. You probably pay it pre-tax or partly pre-tax. And but that way, it's like if you don't use it, you know, you just trot out of here at 92 one day on the golf course, then your heirs get a death benefit. So the premiums aren't wasted. But if you need the policy, you aren't worried about premiums increasing when you're 85 or 6 or 7.
Okay, so that's at the end of life or close to. What are you recommending to people, or what do young investors, young buyers get out of this?
Oh, now we have this whole easy to get started. There's Acorns, the app that rounds up your everyday spending. There's Robinhood. There are a whole bunch of these sites that let you get started with a stockpile, with a little bit of money. Here's who should read this book. First of all, I don't expect that any of you will go from front to back, although I wish you would. I read it out loud, by the way. It's going to be audible. They'll have that up on Amazon, too. But it's for you. It's like a little reference book. And so if you want to give it to your children, for your high schoolers or college students, then they'll get started understanding how a small amount of money gets leveraged over time in a diversified investment. And if you're thinking, I'm rolling out of my 401k, should I buy that annuity? Oh, my goodness. Please read the chapter on annuities first.
That is Terry Savage, the name of the book, The Savage Truth on Money.
All brand new. Do you like that picture?
I do.
I want to give credit where it's due. I've never done this. Every single one of my books, and this is
You only wear corn blue?
Wear blue, yeah. But I love this picture. John Riley Photography took the very first picture on my very first book, and I think it was in 1987 or 88, and he did it again, and my only challenge is living up to the cover photo.
Terry Savage is in the studio. We're just talking about The Savage Truth on Money, which is out, and you find Amazon, right?
Okay, so first of all, you can go to terrysavage.com. There is a link there to buy it right off Amazon. And if every one of you did this as a Christmas present or something like that, it would shoot to the top of the list, and it would make me very happy. The other thing is, I'm now part of a podcast with two really neat people, Pam Kruger and Richard Eisenberg. He formerly of Money Magazine, and now with Next Avenue, the PBS website. Pam Kruger is the founder of Wealth Ramp. I mention it a lot. So the link to the podcast, the first three of them are up, is also on the top right side of terrysavage.com.
All right, let's jump to the phone lines. Mary Kay is here. Mary Kay, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, Terry. I'm calling because I am starting a new job, and my husband and I have a real cash flow problem. We're having trouble paying our bills. He's underemployed. There's a 401k that I can contribute to that has some type of a match. I think it's like they match 50% up to the first 10%. that I would put into the 401k. I need all the money I think that I'm making, but I want to,
Let me stop you. If you think you've got a cash crunch now, where do you see what a cash crunch looks like when you're 67, 68, 72, 73? If you were walking down the street and saw a $10 bill on the street, would you be too busy to pick it up and put it in your wallet?
No.
Okay, this is free money. If you don't see it, you won't spend it. It's an automatic deduction. You double your money or get 50% on your money. If I could give you a stock and say it'll go up 50% overnight, you would immediately buy it. That's exactly what this is. Your social, take a look at FICA. It's taken out. I know you don't have enough money. Nobody ever has enough money. Sign up for the 401k and just don't look.
Thanks for the call.
Do the whole thing.
I would do it.
Appreciate the call, Mary Kay. We're going to run on now. And in fact, next on the line is, I can't see from here, Sean, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you. My question is, my father did a 529 for my son, who's going to be going to college next year. He's a senior this year. It has about $50,000 in it. And the school he's going to go to, I estimate it about $18,000 to $20,000 a year. Should we use that to pay everything the first and part of the second year?
No. Let me stop you.
4 years.
Let me stop you. You are going to apply for financial aid, perhaps, to help him through the first 2 years?
Okay.
You save the grandparent-owned 529 plan, because any disbursements from that are considered student assets, which means you won't get financial aid in the year you take the money out to pay for tuition from the grandparent-owned, not a parent-owned, but a grandparent-owned 529. Any withdrawals are considered and highly assessed against you as student money. So you save that for sure for the senior year, maybe for the junior year if you need it.
All right. Got the answer. Okay. That's a good answer for that. I did not realize that.
Yep.
And we'll go now to Brian, who's on the phone line. Brian, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Yes, thank you.
What can we help you with?
Okay, I'm calling in regards to long-term care. I have, and my wife have, a long-term care policy. We've had it for about 13 years now. And when we got it, it was through the teacher's retirement. And it was very inexpensive. And we threw in some riders. The last 3 years, I'm just coming out of the third year, each of the last 3 years, they increased the premiums by 25%.
Yep.
I've got one more to go, 12% 2020. I thought I heard you say that you can lock in or...
No, stop. Okay, stop for 1 second. First of all those insurers are playing catch up, and they mostly caught up. So if you can maintain that existing policy in force, there might be small increases in future years, but the big shocking ones should definitely be behind us. Now, if you have extra money, you could buy a new policy, and that is a combination life long-term care policy. As a matter of fact, I promise if you'll tune in, not next week because I've got something else planned, but 2 weeks from now, I'll write a column all about combo life long-term care policies. And you can see it up at, anyway, at terrysavage.com or in the book. But the point is, you've gotten inflation protection. You may have a return of premium on death and all that. You should try, even though it's painful, to keep that policy in force, and most of the increases are behind you.
Ryan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Terry Savage, congratulations. It's kind of like having a baby, right?
It is. It's just like...
But you just had this baby you've had three different versions of the same baby.
I know, but it was so exciting this time. I tell you, I opened that box of books that they shipped to me first before anybody got them, and I held my breath. Please let it look good. And I had tears in my eyes when I saw it. Look, this is for all of you. This is everything I know. Why am I so smart this moment? Because I just finished reading it into Audible. And so I'm on top of everything.
I see you've got a blurb on the back from John Najarian.
Dr. J was nice enough to give me a very nice blurb.
I would have given you a blurb. I fit with these guys, don't I?
Yeah, you are. You're a major league guy, Steve. Thank you for the time you give me every week.
Well, listen, thanks for coming by this Wednesday. I appreciate it. And good luck on the book sales. Everyone can check it out at Amazon.com.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jen. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, so Peapod was an early grocery delivery business, and it's only gotten bigger since then. And now Amazon, which will deliver your groceries, said that if you are a Prime member, they'll do it for free. On the phone line now is Carly Golden, part of grocery delivery at Amazon.com. Carly, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so I think I saw that this was just announced yesterday, right? This is brand new?
Absolutely. So yesterday we announced that all fresh grocery delivery from Amazon is now free to Prime members. So you might recall that one of our grocery delivery services, Amazon Fresh, previously required an additional monthly membership fee of $14.99, mm-hmm. and that was on top of your Prime membership. So yesterday we announced that that fee is no more, which means that Prime members can now shop fresh groceries from Amazon Fresh or Whole Foods Market, have it delivered right to their doorstep at ultra-fast speeds, all for free as part of their Prime membership.
So was the early $14.99, was that an annual fee or per gross per delivery fee, or what was that?
That was a monthly membership fee, okay, on top of your Prime membership. So, yeah, it ended up being about $180 annually on top of your Prime membership. And yesterday we announced that that is no more. Pretty exciting.
Did you find that that number was maybe keeping your numbers down?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I can definitely say that, you know, 18 months ago we introduced grocery delivery from Whole Foods Market as a free benefit to Prime members. And the response from customers was, you know, incredibly positive. And since then, grocery delivery has become one of the fastest growing businesses at Amazon. So it was a natural next step to extend the benefit of free grocery delivery to our Amazon Fresh members as well.
So if I'm going to get furnace filters delivered via Amazon and, you know, they come the next day, is that same guy bringing my groceries, or what's the infrastructure there?
So it's probably not the same person. So if you're ordering groceries on Amazon Fresh, you place your order on Amazon.com. You select the time of day that you want your groceries delivered. Then your order gets dropped into one of our Amazon Fresh fulfillment centers. We have associates running around picking groceries and other items for you. And then our Amazon Flex delivery drivers will deliver your groceries to you right to your doorstep.
Okay, so if it comes within 2 hours, then those centers have to be what, your local Whole Foods store? Or the centers must be pretty, you must have a lot of them.
So there's two ways that we fulfill grocery delivery orders. As I mentioned, one service is Amazon Fresh. So if you're ordering from Amazon Fresh, those groceries are going to come from smaller warehouses that are located, you know, mostly in city centers close to customers, so that, to your point, yes, we can get them to our customers quickly. But if you're ordering from Whole Foods Market on Amazon, those orders are going to be fulfilled directly from your local Whole Foods Market
store. Can I order anything that's at the Whole Foods Market, or is it the sort of a curated list?
Yeah, pretty much anything and everything. Customers have been really pleased to see that most of the products that they go into their local Whole Foods Market store for are also available online.
I see that there's a 1 or 2 hour option. So if you want the 1 hour, you must pay more?
Yeah, so 2 hour delivery is free on orders over $35. If you are in a pinch and need your items even faster, 1 hour delivery is $4.99.
That's for when you just need a pinch of nutmeg for that soup you're making and you can't afford to go out to the store.
That's exactly right.
2,000 cities now. Are you expanding it?
Yeah, so in the last year, we've spent a lot of time bringing grocery delivery to even more cities, both Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods Market. So today, we are available in more than 2,000 cities and towns across 90 major metropolitan areas, including the greater Chicago area. So Prime members in your neck of the wood will be happy to know that they have access to free grocery delivery from both Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods Market. But if you're not sure, the best way is for customers to head to Amazon.com/grocery. On that page, they can enter their zip code and we'll let them know exactly what services are available in their area.
So the Chicago area, though, is pretty much covered. I mean, the city and all of its suburbs?
Pretty much. But again, you know, just to double check, the best way is to just enter your zip code and we'll make it really crisp for you.
Okay, so, you know, Grubhub is a local company and they've been in the news this week. I think their stock was down 43% yesterday. It's different. They're delivering restaurant food for the most part. But I would imagine Amazon getting into this and doing for free for Prime members is a threat to a lot of companies, right? I mean, who's your competition here?
You know, we're heads down focused on our customers and making their lives easier.
Oh, come on, Carly. Who are you putting out of business? You must be working on someone.
No, you know, again, we're focused on doing things that improve the lives of our customers. And, you know, as I mentioned, grocery delivery is one of the fastest businesses growing at Amazon. And so it's clear that customers are hungry for services like these. And Amazon is completely willing to invest in these services because we know it's something that is going to make our customers' lives better.
Who is your typical customer? I mean, is it an elderly couple or is it a family, a single man? What's typical?
Yeah, it's honestly all of the above. You know, it's young people, you know, wanting to save time. It's families, obviously. You know, that makes a lot of sense. Parents are busy ferrying kids to and from school practices and are, of course, looking to save time and not spend any additional time that they don't have at the grocery store. But, yeah, it's also great for people who maybe have accessibility issues. It's difficult to get in a car into a grocery store. Grocery delivery is really a great option for just about anybody.
Carly Golden is part of grocery delivery at Amazon.com. I'll order bananas, but they have to be just right, Carly. I don't want them too green. I don't want them overripe.
We'll pick them better than you would, Steve.
Thanks very much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. So you think that fall is the best time of the year with the lovely fall colors, the brisk, fulfilling chill outside, and beautiful leaves everywhere that coat the city? Well, those pretty leaves that end up on so many people's Instagram photos at the end of the day are also delaying metro trains. According to metro officials, slippery leaves on the track are just as much of a burden to trains running on time as snow is. You wouldn't think that wet leaves would impact a vessel that weighs thousands and thousands of pounds, but it sure does. Might even impact those lines that cruise through Country Club Hills. But they won't be able to gamble at a brand new casino because Country Club Hills dropped out of the casino license race. It's been ongoing for a while, and Matteson is one of the neighboring areas that's still in it to win it. But the competition is definitely going to continue till the end, because you know what they say about casinos? They just print money. Come on, lucky, lucky, lucky daddy needs a new pair of shoes. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
He's found a dime, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and this is Frank Sennett's entry music.
That's right. I just picked up a load of Coors and Texarkana, and I'm taking the big rig down to Florida.
Remember when that was the thing, to go west to pick up some Coors?
That's right. It was like such a regional specialty, and everybody was craving it and
right.
Didn't have it.
Because you couldn't buy it everywhere. You thought it was good.
What are you saying, Steve?
Okay, and so Coors came to Chicago, not, you know, what, a decade or more ago, right? Miller Coors. But then it became Molson Coors, and they're dropping the Miller Coors and the Molson Coors headquarters. North America's in Denver. They announced today they're coming to Chicago.
Yeah, also the Montreal division, Molson Coors Canada. So they're actually consolidating their headquarters into one in North America, and that will be in Chicago. So the Denver and Montreal versions of the corporate HQ are closing, and then they will have a European Molson Coors International headquarters.
But so have we stopped calling it Miller Coors in Chicago?
Well, I mean, this was the first I had heard that they were retiring the name Miller.
Okay.
Coors. So, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face to all the Milwaukeeans.
Right. I mean, what made Milwaukee famous, right? Miller beer, Pabst beer, but now Miller's is gone altogether. They'll still sell it to you, but, well, those of you who want to buy it, this is the problem, isn't it? People aren't buying these beers.
Yeah. The sales are either declining or flat. For such big brands as Miller Lite and Coors Light. So, yeah, it's a troubled category right now.
And they're going
U.S. sales fell 6.2% in the 3 months ended in September.
And so some of them are going into that, are there malted beverages or vodka beverages? I don't know. I don't know if they're doing that. But then I read that the CEO says that they need to go into hard coffee, which in canned wine. Canned wine, I get. I'm not sure what hard coffee is. Well, I can guess, I guess.
And hard seltzer as well. That's
okay,
the big
that's
thing,
that's what
too.
I was trying to write. But hard coffee, have you heard of that before?
I had not.
All right, so there's
I mean,
that.
I have heard, here's what I have heard of, Steve. I have heard of on a cold night putting a shot of bourbon into a cup of coffee.
How cold does it have to be, Frank? Can it be in the 70s?
About 60, 70, or lower.
We were talking earlier with Amazon how they're going to start delivering groceries for free for Prime members, and then mentioned Grubhub. I mean, it's been a rough week for Grubhub.
Yeah, the shares closed down about 43% yesterday, and they had peaked at almost $150 in 2018, and now they're down to about $33 a share.
And they're being hurt by what? By DoorDash, Postmates, things like that?
Yeah, the competition, and Grubhub said in a letter to investors that new customers aren't ordering as frequently as earlier diners had in the core markets like Chicago and New York. The new customer is being less loyal. They're not quite getting the bang for the buck, and so they're not growing like they thought they were.
And they kind of made a play for the big restaurant chains, didn't they? That didn't pay off very well.
That's right. And I know, you know, when I go on Grubhub, I get that offer, hey, get a free delivery from Taco Bell.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, if you're really feeling like a run for the border, make a run for the border.
You're just all about transportation today.
That's right.
Okay, one more, and I like this story. Mayor Lightfoot has talked about investing in businesses, minority-owned businesses on the South and West Side, and they've announced some programs today to speed things up.
Yeah, that's right. So she's beefing up support for South and West Side businesses seeking city grants, including allowing city money for the first time to flow to upstart marijuana businesses. There's the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund that was launched in 2016 under Rahm Emanuel to leverage developer fees to fund small businesses in those corridors on the South and West Sides. There are going to be some changes that will allow more money to flow through that program.
I think they collected the money from downtown businesses in taxation for congestion taxes with the idea of spreading it out. And it was kind of slow sometimes to get out to the neighborhoods, but she's going to try to speed that up.
That's right. It was only $1 million that had been paid out. It was revealed in August. But there was more than $47 million committed. So, yeah, the pace needs to pick up.
Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. Read more at chicagobusiness.com. Thanks for stopping by.
See you in Texarkana.